I'm Michelle Lackness, and I'll be the mediator for the debate today. The topic is why musicians and producers are against peer-to-peer file sharing. On my right, I have Rob, who is for peer-to-peer file sharing, and on my left, I have Janice, who is against, and will be debating against Rob. All right, Janice, you can start off here and just give me...
Peer-to-peer file sharing is good and useful because it's efficient, it's a good promotional tactic from new and upcoming bands, and natural evolution of technology.
Okay, Rob, you're completely correct. File sharing is very valuable, and it is, in fact, a great evolution technology. But just like anything great, it also has its limits. And if it's abused, it can cause unjust consequences. Just look at the guns, for example. Guns were revolutionary and can be used for good, but abuse can cause unjustly harm. So the question here isn't whether peer-to-peer file sharing is in itself bad. The real question is, what are the user's intentions when using it? I'm strongly against the distribution of music and programs that do not have the legal consent of the creators.
All right, Rob, let's talk legal here. So what's your findings that makes, say, peer-to-peer file sharing illegal, or how did it kind of come about? Just kind of background.
The main issue there is that there's a danger that the lawyers, instead of future innovators and entrepreneurs, are the ones who are going to be dictating the new and, you know, upcoming technology. You can never prohibit creativity like that in a society like ours. This has been happening. I mean, from a historical standpoint, this has been happening for, you know, the last 100 years. It started with the music industry itself, attacked by the sheet music producers, saying that you're taking sheet music, recording it, and therefore sheet music producers are not going to be able to make a living. Then it was the player piano, and then it was the VCR, talking about why you can't have, why would anyone buy a movie if you can just record it, and the photocopier. I mean, these are all things that are, you know, that are serious technologies that we have and use on the daily, and, we'd see a very different business world if we were... prohibited from using these things, but because of what lawyers say is, you know, correct. So in light of that, I think it's important to note that the music industry is short-sighted, and that current monopolists have always held they've had a hold against the future technologies since for the last 100 years.
Okay, that's right. I mean, like, everyone, well, downloaders often use the excuse that the people that they're hurting are the large corporations, when in fact that's far from true. Large record companies like Sony, BMG are entertainment conglomerates. They don't just rely on CD sales for revenues. They also own television, film, and other entertainment mediums to generate income. So the companies that take the biggest hits aren't in fact the major labels or the big corporations. They're the independent labels. So, and then I have these two charts here, and they show that in 2005, 18.13% of the entire CD sales market is owned by independent labels. Independent labels encourage innovation. They're in fact the ones that start innovation. So, like, for instance, large genre defining bands like Nirvana and Sloan started off on indie labels. Nirvana started off on Sub Pop. And of course, that's 18.13% of the market, right? So if all these independent labels disappear because they're not able to generate revenue from CD sales, you know, innovation will be gone. Like, these monopoly markets that you're talking about will still exist no matter what. The ones that you're really hurting are the small labels. That's where innovation comes from.
Do you have a reply to that, or do you wish to continue on with the next topic?
I do. In rebuttal to that, I think it's important to note that whole genres of music, like, you know, the grunge music coming from Nirvana or you know, bands like Sloan, may not have ever existed without the help of, you know, if creativity had not been allowed to prevail, as opposed to, you know, the other side of the argument there is things like hip-hop, techno, all of that, like, there is no original thought. And it's important to note that while those bands you know, they're here today because they had their influences from other bands. So it's, you should, I mean, you gotta let the creativity continue there.
Okay. I'd like to move on to our next point. What about if there's some people that are against it, but the bandwagon is huge. Like, everyone just seemed to jump on it. So really, what's for and what's against? Like, if so many people agree with it to a certain extent and are using it, how can you defend, like, to stop using it? It's hard to kind of slow down the snowball effect that's been going on and even try and stop it. So why are we talking about it?
Okay. So.
All right, Rob.
Despite the music industry's best effort against peer group fashion, there's still 30 billion songs downloaded a year. 30 billion, and I mean that's a lot of songs to a lot of people, and that's even after the white noise songs, the viruses, the lawsuits, they're still all out there, and possible alternatives come to mind about, you know, if they were to charge say 5 cents for a song. 5 cents for a song, make them easy to get, make them, you know, reliable. Artists would double their current income. Double their current income. I mean, that's 30 billion times 5 cents is a lot of money for, you know, you talk about struggling artists, that's one way to do it. When it comes down to it, if you can't beat them, just join them for that. Maybe you can think about doing that.
Dennis.
Okay. But paying 5 cents is unrealistic. Would people even pay that? I mean, iTunes charges 99 cents for a song, but not everyone is jumping on that bandwagon. People are still downloading, right? Instead, we need to change our perspectives on downloading music. It is morally wrong, and we need to curb that behavior. Because as with anything, if you want to use a product, you want the enjoyment of a product, you need to pay for that product. For example, if you want clothes, then you go to the store and you pay for clothes. You don't expect that the clothing industry or the clothing store will let you walk away out of the store without paying for it. So why should downloading be any different?
In response to that, you talk about the moral standpoint that they have with the money that they make. A lot of artists believe, I mean, 80 years ago, there were absolute riots coming out from the first couple of, you know, touring bands that charge for music. They thought people shouldn't have to pay for music because it's art and everyone should be allowed to use art. I mean, obviously there's certain costs that come with touring or whatever, but I mean, this is just, you talk about a moral standpoint, it shouldn't be about the money, it should be about the music. That's the attitude a lot of the people take on this. I mean, it's, South Park did a comparison to this actually, and they said that people will still go see the artist in concert and pay for a ticket, even with peer-to-peer file sharing and the copyright details on songs. Also, in response to the clothing store to stealing clothes from a clothing store, I've heard this before, and it's just like stealing a car. The approach that the music companies take on this is that stealing a car or stealing clothes is just like stealing a song, and therefore it's wrong. It's not at all like that. It's about copying a song. It's about me using a song that that you've recorded and not paying for it. That's the issue. But the difference is because I'm not stealing it from you. I'm just copying it. I'm not inhibiting your use of the song. It's just like I have a candle and you have a candle. Mine's lit and yours is not. If I light your candle, I'm still allowed use of the light from the candle. Therefore, it's not the same. So, it's just a different way of looking at it there. I mean, it becomes, you know, important to recognize that it shouldn't be about the money, and that also you're not being denied use of the song or whatever.
Right. So about that Benjamin Franklin comment, the artists and the industries are the artists and the industries are the ones left in the dark, so to speak. So simply put, this is stealing. So according to the Oxford Dictionary, the verb of stealing means taking something without permission or legal right and without intending to return it. So that's exactly what you're doing if you're stealing a program or music, and also. about the stolen car comment, it isn't a matter of whether you deny someone the use of it, as it is you are denying them the financial compensation that they are intended and rightfully deserved. A musician's full-time job is to make music, a programmer's job is to make programs. You are denying that person from their future pay. And so right now, look, history as we know it, artists have been, throughout history, been exploited, and peer-to-peer file sharing is just exploitation in its most tragic form. So in this day of understanding, we need to evolve past this, we need to respect artists and pay them for the art that they are creating. If the idea of the starving artist weren't true before, then peer-to-peer file sharing will make it true. How would you like it if you spent years devoting your life to your career and never got compensated for it?
First of all, not every artist shares that view. There are artists who believe that, who are in absolute support of peer-to-peer file sharing, first of all. Second of all, and also, I mean, just because somebody downloads a free song doesn't mean that they're going to go out and buy the album. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to spend $25-$30 for a song, for a CD that has one or two good songs on it, first of all. And the exposure that comes with this downloading songs can actually, in the long run, make artists more money than they had originally would have made with the CD sales because of exposure. Without peer-to-peer file sharing, you might not get your name out, and you won't make the money off of that exposure. So.
Okay, but peer-to-peer file sharing, yeah, you're right, peer-to-peer file sharing can be a great tool for marketing and publicity, but once again, the listener must have respect for the artist and the people behind the music industry. So if you enjoy the music and you plan on listening to it, just like if you were to, buy a car and you're going to use it, then you must respect the artist and pay for it. Would you steal from someone you respect?
Well, that's not the issue. The issue is about whether peer-to-peer file sharing should be allowed to continue. It's not about stealing from somebody I respect. It's about stealing from. Is it even stealing? First of all, that's a point of discussion here. And also, this is nothing new. This has historically been always like this. Has led to many, many, many good innovations, including peer-to-peer file sharing itself is also not exclusively used for what you, when somebody might call stealing or ripping off an artist, it's about also used for more to, by companies, it allows a more democratic, more widespread voice to be heard. I mean, there's all sorts of pros about this. I've only been refuted on one point so far, and that's that it's stealing from an artist, which is one portion of the peer-to-peer file sharing of what it is. In 1992, I believe, this court ruled in favor of the Sony Betamax case, which basically said that companies and innovators cannot be held liable for copyright infringement of individuals using it as long as there are widespread, substantial, legitimate uses of that technology. So when you talk about peer-to-peer file sharing as bad because of this one branch of people who may use it for wrong, does that mean that the entire technology should be shut down? What about all the good things it causes, and what about all the good things it will cause in the future?
All right, we have hit our 10-minute limit, so we're going to have to wrap it up there. Hopefully we'll see you all next week as we continue on
peer-to-peer file sharing and how it hurts the younger generation. Thank you.